This podcast is brought to you by Dynapack.
Welcome to the Asphalt Pro Magazine podcast mini-series for mental health wellness and suicide prevention. I'm magazine editor Sandy Lender and your host for this mini-series. In this three-part podcast, we'll explore ideas for incorporating a mental health wellness component in your safety program. Asphalt Pro is honored to expand the conversation around this important topic and to bring Ajax Paving's Vince Hafley into the podcast for that purpose. Vince Hafley has over 38 years in the highway construction industry. He's been leading a team of nearly 500 employees as president of Ajax Paving Industries of Florida for the past 4 years, although his diverse background includes positions like field quality control and inspection and project manager. At the time of this recording, he's working toward his Doctorate of Business Administration degree to further his research and training skills related to suicide in the construction industry. As a consultant and speaker advocate, he works with individuals and organizations to create open discussions around suicide prevention and mental health. I encourage you to follow him on LinkedIn because Vince has new information, speaking engagements, and updates on mental health wellness information posted on his page frequently. Let's begin part three of this three-part podcast, looking at how we talk to our colleagues who may be struggling. It's no secret we're in a male-dominated industry. Still, 89 to 90% of the workforce is male. Let's talk about the provider-protector mindset of the traditional construction worker and how that mindset is valuable to the concept of helping a coworker. And maybe tell us a little bit about how taking those conversations into the field and letting coworkers come forward and letting coworkers come forward to be a supporter and to be a provider of help has manifested itself at Ajax.
Well, we did a toolbox talk. And the toolbox talk we did for the first week in September of 22, because that National Suicide and Construction Awareness Week. Mm-hmm. We did a toolbox talk around an employee we lost to suicide in 15. We didn't make the talk to honor him because there's no honor in what he did, but we wanted to share what struggles he went through. So we created that toolbox talk. The first crew that we went out and saw that morning with it, they wanted to talk about an alcohol intervention that they had done 2 weeks earlier, and they were proud of it. The second crew that we went to, a gentleman there, and he was a new employee with the company. I don't know everybody, but I know he was new because he had on a green hard hat. Less than 90 days in our company, you wear a green hard hat. And he wanted to share the story in front of a man that he had just met about his father that took his life 10 years earlier. And he walks in a suicide walk every year with a picture of his dad on his back. The next crew we went to, a gentleman wanted to show us where he had tried to slice his wrist and take his life. So by creating the culture and the teamwork, these guys now, they support one another in the field. They ask each other, hey, how are you doing? Is everything going okay? It doesn't have to come from me. It doesn't have to come from the safety director. It's kind of the same with the buddy system you referred to in the physical sense. It's just now putting the mental aspect in line with the physical, because again, I think the mental is an impact on the physical. I mean, I could share those stories with you all day long about how these guys are really looking out for one another and asking questions.
Well, and we have that buddy system in place, and most companies have a buddy system in place out there in the work zone where they can look out for each other, you know, for that physical safety. I mean, do you think we're coming to a place yet where we can have a buddy system where you watch out for, you know, the fellow, you know, on the team who's, you know, looks like he's distracted, where you can walk up to him and say, hey, looks like you're not present today. What's up? What's going on? I mean, are we there yet?
No. We're not there yet because from what I'm finding out, most companies aren't doing anything about it, right? I mean, they're not even having conversations. And I would tell you that in our company, even as much progress as we've made in the last 15 months, we're probably there on some crews and not there on other crews. I think the mental health first aid training we're doing, they teach these individuals what signs to look for. So the more of those people that we get, and we've sent someone off and got certified in-house now to do that training. So we can do the training in-house.
Nice.
So you don't know what to look out for if you don't know what to look out for, right? So until we do some training on things, signs to look out for, signs of, hey, here's my tool belt, I won't be needing it anymore. Or, hey, I've been thinking about getting rid of all my tools at the house. Or hey, you know, life just isn't any fun anymore, or work. I mean, so there's all those signs that people have to learn to look for. So no, I don't think we're there yet.
You were a guest of the Dirty and Driven podcast back in February, where you made a great distinction for the audience. You said mental health does not mean mental illness. Could you talk a little bit about that concept, or how safety directors and managers can view that idea to reduce reservations about discussions and then help workers?
Well, let's begin with the easy one. If we were going to talk about my physical health, would you immediately think that I was about ready to die? Would you immediately think that I needed surgery? If I told you that I injured my shoulder 2 years ago and I went to see a surgeon, and the surgeon said, you don't need surgery, you need a physical therapist. Most people, that happened to me, and they said, well, good for you, you don't have to get surgery. That's great that you're going to see the physical therapist. Yet when I told people that, hey, one of the professors at USF told me that I'll help you through the dissertation, but I want you to go see a therapist to talk to. When I told that to people, it was gasp. It was awe. It was shock. Well, I didn't know anything was wrong with you. So mental health is the same as physical health. Mental health is the umbrella over mental illness. Some people that may be struggling with mental illness, really, it may be a day or two thing where they just need someone to talk to. And again, someone to talk to, maybe a supervisor, it may be a wife, it may be a child, it may be whomever. And at the other end of the spectrum, there are people that really, they need medication. They're on the other end of the spectrum in physical or mental illness. So we need to remove the negative condemnation that goes with the words mental health, because mental health needs to be viewed as a positive topic. We want mentally healthy employees on the job. Yet in my interviews that I do with these executives, one of the questions I ask them is, if I say the words mental health to you, what comes to mind? The first thing they say is nothing. It's a pause, because they don't know what to say. Then they say, well, it's typically someone that's going through depression, or someone that got some anxiety, or maybe they're bipolar. And so I let them answer it, and then when we get done and we turn the recording off, I say, okay, now I want to go back to what you said about mental health. When I asked you what mental health means to you, you immediately went to something negative. Yet if I want to talk to you about someone that's physically healthy, you might think of a professional football player, you might think of a gymnast, or you might think of a marathon runner. You don't immediately think of the man that's in the hospital waiting to get a heart transplant. Yet when I tell you the words mental health, you immediately go to the person that needs to be in the hospital and medicated. So mental illness is just a piece, the subset, the underlying of mental health. So we just have to educate people that, hey, mental health is a good topic. We want mentally healthy people. It's not a topic to be run away from. It's a topic to be run to.
Then another topic that I've heard you mention is that of transformational change. Could you kind of give your definition of this transformational change and what you hope to see in the asphalt industry specifically when it comes to a transformational change in our culture of care?
I think if you go to the big definition of transformational change, it actually talks about changing an organization. And you know, so I've sat in the last week and done some reflection on that. There's probably a lot of companies in our industry that really need to do a transformational change. But I think there's a lot of companies in our industry that just need to tweak the transformation. I think the larger companies that have full safety programs, safety directors and things, already have a good safety culture. The smaller entities in our asphalt industry that really don't have a safety program per se, they probably need to look at some type of transformational change. I think, and I mean, I don't know if it's 50-50 or if it's 80-90, but those companies that already have a robust safety program in place, this is just another piece you're adding to it. We're not talking about changing your whole safety culture. If you already have a great safety culture, this is just going to even elevate it more. Those other guys, we all see them. They're out paving with flip-flops on and tennis shoes, and their MOT guy is nowhere to be found. Yeah, those people need to look at doing some transformational change. I like transformational leadership. I would like to think that I'm a transformational leader. I lead a lot from the back. I want the change to come from the people on the front. So I kind of set initiatives and programs and find different people to roll those out for me. Because it's more impactful coming from a group than it is from that guy's got another one, he's got another one. So I think a lot of companies really need to look at transformational leadership and empower maybe their safety director to now bring this mental health aspect into it. If you have a great safety program, don't change it, just enhance it.
And then I'm going to put you on the spot with this one. So to get some of those, you know, just that extra facet into the safety program, I mean, what are some of the basic steps, or what's an easy to implement step that you would offer to a safety director or a CEO, even of some of these smaller companies that need to do some transformational change? I mean, what's an easy thing to start with?
Well, that's easy. The easy thing to start with is for the guy at the top. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if it's an 8-man company, it's the owner that's on the paver probably that day, right? And if it's the multinational company, it's someone sitting in the ivory tower that says we're going to begin addressing this. So that's the easiest thing to do, but it's the most difficult thing to do because it's the first step, right? Then the next easy thing to do is just roll out some toolbox talks about it, which then just gets the conversation going again. So at that point, you've really not changed anything. You've not really changed any of your practices. You're just beginning to create the culture to where it's okay to talk about what you may be struggling with today. Again, it's not that difficult. So, yeah, start by talking about it. Do a toolbox talk. Then empower some of your foremen to begin having more talks about it with the crew. Encourage your foreman to maybe, he asks once a week, hey, how's everybody doing? Is everybody, hey, you mentally here with me today? Is there anything going on? And I know you may not want to talk about it in front of the group, and that's fine. Eventually they will, because previously I mentioned to you, we went to a crew, and the new guy in front of 20 of us there wanted to share a story. One that had lost a father and one that had tried himself. So again, it's about getting the conversation going and creating the culture. It really isn't that difficult.
Okay. And that's a good message right there. I mean, it's not that difficult to take the step to say, we're going to talk about this. Well, and then the toolbox tips that you mentioned, they're available everywhere.
If they are. Like CPWR has some.
I think the AGC of Missouri, I think they're everywhere.
Now, for the doctorate that you're working toward, you've been interviewing members of the asphalt industry who have implemented these mental health wellness in their safety programs. Could you share a couple of examples or ideas that have come from some of these interviews? I mean, something that has stood out to you as just interesting or as groundbreaking. I mean, something that has really stood out to you that you would like to share with the audience.
I don't know if there's a big silver bullet out there of what the ones that are doing. The ones that are doing a good job with it have really just changed the culture of their company to where they're addressing it. They talk about it at their annual safety day. They have the toolbox talks that they're doing it. Some of them have implemented health days, paid health days if you need time off. Some companies, I mean, when I had a gentleman 2 weeks ago that said, hey, I need some help, one of my questions in that conversation was, do you need some time away? And, oh, by the way, don't worry about the pay. We'll take care of your pay while you're away. Because for me to pay him to sit at home for a month and try to fix his life is less expensive than me telling him to leave and I'll find somebody to replace you, that I have to hire, I have to bring through orientation, I have to get them into our safety culture, I just got to get them on the whole thing. And there's numbers all over there on the board, $25,000 to hire someone, $3,000, I mean, whatever it is, if you've got a good worker that has done a good job for your company, the good companies are helping them, either by giving them days off for mental health days or by getting them into an employee assistance program. Again, I don't know that this like, wow, look what they're doing. But with that said, the answers I got through the early part of my research of these moments of quiet where people don't know what to do, I've now redirected my research, and I'm beginning next week interviewing 10 to 15 companies that have been recommended to me by Cal Byers. Many people know Cal. He said, here's 15 companies that are really doing it right. I've got interviews set up with them to see if I can find a common theme of what those companies are doing. And then in my dissertation, which is a book, I'm hoping to have a section in there to where people could go and look and say, hey, here's what these 10 great companies did. Here's what they say they would have done differently. Here's what they're doing, and here's what the future looks like for them. I don't have an answer for you today. Stay tuned.
It's coming.
Hopefully in April or May, I'll have that answer.
It's been a pleasure talking with Vince Haefeli today. I hope everyone listening in has picked up something they can use in their companies to expand the conversation around mental health wellness and suicide prevention. I want to encourage you again to follow Vince on LinkedIn. You can find his company online at www.ajaxpaving.com or on Facebook at Ajax Paving Industries of Florida. Be sure to visit theasphaltpro.com/suicideprevention to read and sign his Suicide in Construction Awareness Proclamation. If you or a colleague needs immediate help, the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline has licensed counselors standing by at all times to speak with you. Please call or text 988. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for your willingness to share this podcast and conversation with others.